All right. So I actually realized, like, when I was back in the States, obviously I didn't get to share with you guys for like 2 months or so, 2.5 months, right? And then I came back, and the first message I gave was the reboot one, and like I kind of rebooted a former message. Pardon the pun. Anyway, and then I was sick and stuff like that. So this is actually kind of sort of the first message I've written for you guys in like 3 months. So I'm really excited to share with you guys. Something that, as I've been praying about it, God just really, like, really whacking me with it. So I hope that it's as impacting for you guys as it has been for me. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we can begin. Lord Jesus, we are really thankful. God, you could have chosen any people. You could have chosen to love any species. You could have done anything, but you chose us, God. And you chose us to be your bride, your lover. You chose us to be the church that you chose out of everybody else. And we're just really honored by that. And we want to love you back and show you the love that you deserve, God, and the honor that you deserve. God, I pray that you'd anoint my words today, that I would speak only what you would have me speak, Jesus. And I pray that you give us all ears to hear what you want to say to us, your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but last April, this is like over 6 months ago, there was a website in the States that got hacked. Now, lots of websites get hacked all the time. Not a really big deal. You know, if someone hacked the SOAR website, you know, like, oh no, Josh Kobacher's head now has like a big old nose on it. You know, like, I mean, it's no big deal if some websites get hacked. But this specific website, it was a very, very big deal that it got hacked. And the reason was because this website was Ashley Madison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have any of you guys heard of this?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you haven't heard of it, Ashley Madison is a website, a dating website, right? An online dating website. But you can only sign up if you're already married.
What?
Right. It's a cheating website. It's a website where people would sign up to basically have an affair. And messed up, right? Well, there is justice in the world. Somebody hacked this site and said, we are going to publish the names, all the usernames. And people use their real names for this because they required, you know, they don't want creepy people on there. Of course, probably everybody who goes on the site is already creepy. But, you know what I'm saying? They didn't want, like, creepy people. So you had to use your real name. So this hacker group published the usernames of everybody who signed up for this site. And suddenly, every married couple in America, you know, they go into this thing and checking to see if their husband or wife had an account with this site. All right, so it was crazy. Meanwhile, there is a TV show called 19 and Counting, about 19 kids and counting. It's about it's a reality TV show, so you know they're like following you around with a camera, like, hey, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm eating my breakfast, you know. But the family is the Duggard family, and they have 19 kids, 19 biological children, and they homeschool all of them. And really, this family, the Duggard family, they're basically like what everybody thinks homeschoolers are like. Okay, like I know a lot of us here were homeschooled, are homeschooled.
What exactly?
People think that homeschoolers are like, you know, oh, you pray every 5 minutes and you like never do anything bad, and all the girls wear only dresses that are like at least 3 inches past your feet, and they're denim and they're ugly and they can't be pretty, and if you want to like date them, then you have to, you know, You have to get permission from the dad, and he like takes you out with the shotgun and says, hey, you know, like, right? There's all these stereotypes people have about homeschooling. Never watch movies, never sweat, you know? And so the Duggard family with 19 kids, they're like the stereotypical, they're like what everybody thinks of when they think of the homeschool family, right? So one of the older boys in this family, he grew up, got married, had 4 kids, and suddenly it came out that he had abused some of his younger siblings, some of his sisters. And while this is all hitting the fan, he's working for Family Research Council in D.C., which is, I've been there, I have friends that, I know people there, and it's a basically Christian organization that works to promote family values in America, especially in America. And so he's working for this company, working for this think tank, trying to promote family values, good marriages, healthy families. Like, that's who he is, right? Comes out that he abused his younger sisters. So then, a lot of pressure. Somebody said one day, oh, I wonder if this guy was on Ashley Madison. So they looked, and boom, this guy had an account on Ashley Madison. So he basically comes out. He confesses, says, I had an affair on my wife, I cheated on my wife, says I was addicted to porn, and I also, like, all this nasty, nasty stuff. And they now canceled the TV show, and there's, like, all this pressure. And basically, Josh Duggard, this guy, if you want to know, like, hypocrite of the year for 2015, it's, like, Josh Duggard, right? That's, like, who people think of if you're thinking of, like, the biggest hypocrite ever. Because he's, like, on this perfect Christian homeschool family. He's working for Family Research Council to promote family values in America. And the whole time, he's addicted to porn. He's been cheating on his wife on this, like, stupid website. And he was, like, abused when he was younger. He abused girls, right? So, I don't know about you, but when I saw that, I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, I have compassion for him, but there's also a little bit of, like, you scumbag, you know, right? Like that's how you feel about this. And I think that's normal. But I want to raise this question. If I just came up to you and I was like, hey, you need to know this. You, just like Josh Duggard, you are an adulterer. You are cheating. Like, what would be your response? My response would be like, no, I'm not. Right? Okay. And maybe that's your response too. Right? No, I've never even had a girlfriend. How am I supposed to cheat on somebody? Right? Or I'm not married. How can I cheat? Right? But I want to raise this question and maybe have you think about it. Because it's not for sure. And I'll get to the answer to this in a second, but it's not for sure. I think part of the reason it's like this is because we can see this cheating in other people a whole lot easier than we can see it in ourselves. How many of you guys have friends at school who are dating? Yep. How many people have friends who are dating? Most. You guys are pretty sure they're dating. You guys. Okay. How many of you guys have ever seen a situation where your friend is dating somebody, but then they're hanging out with another person of the opposite gender, and you're like, that's not cool. And they're like, oh, no, we're just friends. It's okay, nothing's happening. She's my girlfriend. She's just a really good girl. How many guys have seen that? Yes, okay? And you're like, no. You idiot! Like, you know, quit it! You are, you know, right? That's how you feel, right? And then you tell them, you're like, hey, I just think you maybe should be careful about how you interact with this other person. They're like, oh, so-and-so? Oh, no, we're just friends, don't worry. But you can see it really clearly, right? You can see it really clearly, even though they can't. But then, if it's you in that situation, like, I don't know if you have, but I'll just tell you in advance. If you ever get in that situation, you'll be like, oh, no, it's just friends, whatever, you know? Because you can't see it as well in yourself. Easy to see this kind of hypocrisy in others. It's hard to see in yourself. You know, as crazy as our world has become, with like, oh, hey, you know, just like, go sleep with whoever you want, you know, do what feels good, you know, like, who cares? Just kind of like that kind of attitude. As crazy as that's become, here's the thing. People still despise scumbags who cheat. Right? You know, even though, like, there's all these crazy songs about, like, people getting together with people they aren't married to, they still have that, like, and I dug my keys into the sun, and I found out a four-wheel. No. Okay, thank you. It's a song about, like, how my boyfriend cheated on me, and he's such a nasty dude. And all of us listening to that call were like, and it's about how she takes her keys and scratches up his car, and he takes a sledgehammer to the windows, and like a pickaxe to all the like tires and slashes them. And you're like, and then it's like, maybe he'll think again before he cheats. And we're like, yeah, right? You know, because we, even though we're like, oh yeah, even the world's like, do whatever, the world still understands this, like, when you're not faithful, that is dirty. That is low. Right? We still understand that. And honestly, if we're really honest with ourselves, I think practically anybody you ask, I was going to get a picture of this, unfortunately I didn't. If you see, like, Up. How many of you guys have seen Up, the movie? Okay, you know that super sad, like, long scene with just music in the middle where, like, it shows them meeting as kids and then it progresses their whole marriage. And then they, like, they have a miscarriage, and then, like, they get old together, and then they, like, paint the... You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, and, like, at the end, there's, like, you know, an old man and an old woman together, and you're like, oh, man. Like, I know you guys are not, like, close to getting married and stuff, but isn't that kind of what would be cool? Like, to just share your whole life with somebody? Like, you're the only one for each other for forever? I bet you, take any movie star in the world, right? Anybody who has the, like, dates all the most famous people, you know, like, someone like, I don't know, Taylor Swift, just famous person, right? Or Kim Kardashian, famous person, you know what I mean? Like, these people who just, I bet, you ask any of them, you get them when they're honest and you ask them, they would so much rather have a story, like, Up, than they would go from famous person. Because we understand that that is the best, right? We understand this, like, faithfulness. And we still despise this cheating or this unfaithfulness. You know, in Proverbs 20, verse 6. Could someone read that? Can you get your Bibles out? I have a Bible. All right, who needs a Bible? Grab a Bible. Raise your hand if you need a Bible.
Grab a
Can you turn to Proverbs 20, verse 6? Got it?
My phone is broken.
All right. Can someone read it?
If your phone's not working, go grab a real one.
Grab a real one.
Grab a real phone.
Real ones are good.
Quicker once they load and work.
You can't highlight
stuff. These always load. These never lag. These never lag.
Right.
Yes.
When he's stopped,
I've been sitting here. All right. Who's got it? Proverbs 20, verse 6. Do you want to read it?
Many of them.
All right. Thank you, guys. Proverbs what?
20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find.
Many a man, right. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find. Right? People, everybody's like, oh, I'll love you forever. You're my soulmate. You're my true love. Right? Yeah, I'll love you forever, right? But how rare is that? You know? I remember, you guys ever watch or like see the pictures of humans in New York? You guys know that? It's like a Facebook thing. This guy takes pictures of humans in New York.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I thought it was
And then he, like, puts little blurbs, and he had this one picture a couple months back, so weeks back, of this older gentleman, and he talked about his wife who had died, and he's like, yeah, we spent like, I don't know, something like 60 years together, and it's like, I miss her every day, and we have this really special sort of thing. And we all see that, and we're like, wow, that feels so rare, you know? Like, many a person, maybe a man or woman, declares their undying love for someone, right? But who can find that kind of love, right? Who can find that proper to say? And I think we all desire it, and we all realize that that's what we want. I mean, even if it's not just a dating or love relationship, all of us want friends like that, right? All of us want friends who are genuinely caring about us and won't, like, just throw in the towel when your interests change, right? Or you have some little disagreement or something. Like, all of us want those really true, dedicated friends that we can count on. All of us want, I think, even if we don't admit it, deep down inside, we want our families to be like this, right? We want our siblings and our parents to be people that we could really rely on, even if they're not, right? We wish we had those kind of solid, steady relationships that are unshakable and where the trust is not broken, right? You know, another just thing about cheating that I was thinking was, think about where, in what situation do you think that you see the most emotion? Everyone, like, name a situation where someone's very emotional. Okay, watching a movie, probably like here, right?
Like a real life situation or a situation that would be in everyday life?
What?
Either one. Either one. What's the situation that where you see a lot of emotion?
Like,
the breakup, right? That's actually like the most crazy, like when people break up, they get whacked, right? And sometimes they're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, okay, so breakup. Way up here. What else?
Funeral.
He said proposal.
Funeral. Yeah, proposal. True, right?
Oh my gosh!
Right? Again? Like, yeah. Proposal is way up here too, right? Break up, proposal.
Getting, like, asked out to dance or something? Like,
what else? What other are very emotional situations?
Like an accident or something.
Okay, yeah. Often it's like in the, like, few moments after, right? Because when it first happens, you're like, what? But then you start to process it all and you're like, oh my gosh, right?
Competition.
Okay. Something. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, a finals or something. Have you ever been in the stadium during a big game and then it's like a close game and you're just like, you can just feel the energy like pulsing, right? Am I right back then?
Yeah. We just sat on her.
Continue.
Oh no. Okay.
No, alright. Okay, so I think one of the most emotional things that you can, situations you can imagine, though, is when a husband finds out his wife has been cheating on him. Right? Like that's when things get really crazy. Right?
Or when the wife finds out.
Or when the wife finds out that the husband. Exactly. Exactly. Can someone look at Proverbs 6:34 and 35? What is going on, guys?
Sorry, we were like sitting on the stuff.
Are we setting up?
We're good now.
Wait, I got it. Technology wins again.
Oh my god.
You know what this was?
Technology.
Alright, so Proverbs, what did I say? 6:34-35. Paul, you want to read it out?
Jealousy arouses on husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bride. However,
that's great. Say it again, nice and loud. Can you repeat, Chick Kenny? He's going to read it out. So just listen.
Can you repeat? I can't find it.
That's okay, just listen. He'll read it. Go ahead.
For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is.
Oh, right? So there's not much like the fury of a husband when he finds out his wife has been cheating. And it doesn't, if the guy's like, can you imagine? Just think about it. Think about the situation. Some guy, this will never happen, but some guy cheats with my wife, with Katie. All right? Let's just right? If he comes up and he's like, oh, Kenny, I'm so sorry. Here, have 100 kwai. Right, exactly. I will. He's like, no, 1,000 kwai. You are going to die, buddy. Right? Like, oh, no, I'll give you a new car. I will give you a new car. It's called a hearse, you know, like a car for your coffin, right? Like, it doesn't matter. He can't bribe me out of that, right? That's the intensity that happens there when you see that kind of, in that kind of situation. There's so much intensity, so much emotion. Here's what I want to say. Let's turn to James 4. This is where it gets kind of intense. James 4. Now, this book, the book of James, was written by the Apostle James, and he wrote it to the Jewish believers that were scattered around after the church was persecuted. But I think that God is saying the same thing to us.
Yeah. I can't keep it.
Okay, well, stick it in your pocket and afterwards we'll be able to.
No, you can keep it. I'll give it for you tomorrow, okay? Is that clear?
All right, it's clear.
Hey. Don't worry, I'll give it to you next time.
Okay, sounds good. So it was written to the Jews, but I think God is also writing it to us today. And I want you, as we read this, to think about the intensity of a husband when he finds out his wife has been cheating. I want you to think about that question I asked you earlier about, is it possible that we, you and me, have been adulterers or have been cheats? Right? Here's what he says.
In what chapter?
This is in James chapter 4, starting in verse 4. He says this to us. You adulterers. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely, but He gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is what we have to understand, guys. If we choose to be friends with the world, we are cheating on our true love. Because God is our true love. God is the one who has been faithful to us. You know that faithful love, who can find? God is the one who has offered us that. And He proved it when He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, because He didn't hold anything back in His love for us. And we've responded to that. If you're a Christian, you've said, God, my life belongs to you. It's like God has given us a proposal, right? Say, hey, will you marry me, right? Will you be mine? And we said, yes, 1,000 times yes. But when we choose friendship with the world, that is hatred towards God. You know, I mean, maybe you think like I did when I first read this. Well, friends, I mean, it's not like I'm not dating the world, I'm just like friend with the world. Why does God freak out about that, you know? And I was thinking about my relationship with Katie, and that kind of helped me understand. You know, if Katie has, like, talks to guys, you know, or she's speaking with another guy, I'm okay with that. No, you know what I mean, though? I'm totally okay with that. Right? If she talks to other guys, I'm totally okay with that, right? But if she starts doing friendship things with other guys, I start to get antsy. If she does the things she does with her gal friends, her friends who are girls, if she does that with guys, she builds a friendship with any other guy, I would get really, really angry. Right? If she's like calling up some guy, she's like, oh, hey, let's just get together for lunch and catch up sometime, right? Yeah, we can pray for each other and stuff like that. Right? Heads will roll, right? Heads will roll, right? If she's pursuing a friendship with another guy, right? Or if she says, you know, like, oh, hey, you know, just like she'll say to her friends, like, oh, hey, if you need anything, I will totally be there for you. Anything you need, you just call me up and I will take care of whatever you need right now. You need food or you need this, I'll take it. I'll be there. She does that to her girlfriends, I'm like, awesome, right? She does that to any other guys, I'm like, nuh-uh, right? Right, and we understand that. We understand. She can't be, to use the terms the Bible's using, my wife cannot be friends in this terms. You know what I'm saying? She cannot be friends with God. Now, I know we have other meanings of friends, but do you understand what I'm saying? In this sense right here, in the way that God says friendship with the world, my wife cannot be friends with other guys. And that's totally fine. You know, I can't be friends with girls. Right? And I'm not chafing under that. I'm like, huh, my wife's so oppressive. I can't get like, you know, dinner with just some simple friend and tell my problems to her. Right? Like, I don't have a problem with that. I have her. And she doesn't have a problem with that. She has me. Right? So we understand that. And this is what it means. So when you choose friendship with the world, you're choosing hatred against God. That's what this verse is very clearly saying. You know, God is jealous for us. And it's weird because I think maybe you guys talked about this in your skits last week. Jealousy is one of these weird things where love is showed by anger, right? Like when I am like, about Katie, right? You guys all recognize that I do that because I love her, right? Does that make sense? And I think, so you know, you may have noticed in this verse that it says, or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? Another version of the verse says, like, God, the jealousy yearns for the Spirit that He placed in us. What is that Spirit? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. That's what He's talking about. So can someone read 2 Corinthians 1:22? Second Corinthians 1:22.
Got it.
Really? All right.
Michaela, go ahead, Michaela.
I didn't have
first. 2 Corinthians 1:22.
And who has also put His seal on us and given us? Oh, it's like half of the sentence.
Oh yeah, you can read the verse before, whatever makes sense.
Okay. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us.
Good. So it's God who makes us and you to stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us. He has set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He puts His Spirit in us as a deposit, as a guarantee, as like a yajing, right? Like, and this is basically the same as an engagement ring, right? Like, I went out and I spent $2,000 on a rock, right? And I gave it to Katie and I said, will you marry me? And she said, yes, right? After a millisecond pause in which I freaked out, right? Okay. And then she put it on her finger. And as she wore that around, what does that tell everybody? Every guy who walks in and sees this shiny rock on her finger, what does she do? What do they do? Right? Yeah, right? No, right? Every single guy who sees it, like, oh, don't flirt with her. Right? She's taken. Right? In the same way, God has taken the most valuable thing you can imagine, Himself, and He has placed it inside of us and said, this one's mine. Don't flirt with this person. I'm coming for them, and they're mine. Isn't that awesome? Right? I mean, you always see on Facebook when people get engaged, they're like, ah-ha! The girl, like, puts it on. She's like, selfie with me! Selfie! Right? Like, you know, it's true, okay? I have a friend to get married. And you're like, there's like 20 photos in this album called Engagement, and they're all like different angles of the ring and like a selfie sort of thing, right? You know? And why? Because they're excited about this deposit and what it means, right? In the same way, we have that deposit in us. And when we start flirting with the world, God gets super jealous because he sees that deposit. Right? Can you imagine a guy engaged to a girl and he sees her out flirting with guys, flipping her hand with the golden, like, ring, like, sparkling in the light as she's flirting with other guys? Can you imagine the response that's going to come up emotionally for him? That's the same thing for the Lord. He looks down, he sees the Holy Spirit he's placed inside of us. He says, yeah, that one's mine. He sees us flirting with the world. And God has the same kind of reactions. He's jealous for us. He's jealous for us because he's placed his Spirit. He's placed that deposit. He's placed that engagement ring in our lives as proof that we belong to him. You know, and I just want to say this, like, you know, a while ago, Soar was, like, this was a couple years ago, but Soar got up to, like, 80 people. And it got to the point where I didn't even know a lot of people's names in Soar. Like, I'd be like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm like, okay, good to see you. Yeah. And I would, like, know a little bit about their life, like, what school they went to, but I'd always forget their names. And I kind of felt bad. But that was just the reality because there were so many kids in Soar. But now we're smaller. And I know every single one of you guys' names. And not only do I know your names, I know, like, pretty much what's going on in all of your lives. And I really, like, love you guys. And I really care about you guys. And I especially care about how each of you are doing in your walk with God. And I'm thankful that the Lord has done that in Soar so that I can kind of be that. So I was researching for this message and I came across this passage that is Paul writing, but it's like very much my heart too. And this is 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2, if you want to flip there. This is 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2, or verse 1, starting in verse 1. And this is what he says. Paul says, oh, he's talking to the Corinthian church. He says, I hope you put up with a little bit of my foolishness. But she's already doing that. He says this, I am jealous for you with God, with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband to Christ so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And you know, like, a lot of you guys, I've seen God do crazy stuff at retreats and other things like this, where he just totally grabbed your heart, and you were like, whoa, and you had this, like, pure, like, just ardent, like, real love and passion for God. And you were chasing after him. And some of you have seen that fade, and some of you, I see you continuing that, and I'm very proud. I'm proud of all you guys, but I see that. But I am jealous for you guys on behalf of God as well. I really, really want you to follow Jesus. I know that God has placed his Spirit in you, and he is jealous over you. So I'm jealous over you too, that you would stay faithful. You know, like, when I see you guys starting to walk up, I pray so hard because I want you to get back on track with Jesus, right? When I see where you were at, like, retreat or something, and you start to, like, wherever, I'm like, man, God, would you just bring them back? And I want to, like, say things to you guys, too, and stuff like that. But really, the emotion I feel about that, it's a tiny sliver of the jealousy that God feels for you and how badly he wants to have your pure, undivided devotion. He wants you to love him completely, with a pure, unmixed, undivided devotion, right? Me and Katie say this to each other often, you know, like, you have all of me. I have all of you. There's no one else. We say that to each other. And that's all I want. I don't want anybody else. And I don't want her to have anybody else for me. And with the Lord, it's the exact same way. It's the only way it can be. And I think sometimes we're like, oh, this isn't fair. You know, God's like so demanding, whatever. But that's what true love is, right? True love is like two people completely devoted to each other. Without anybody else. That's not demanding. That's just what true love looks like. And God has shown that to us. We should show it back to him. You know, he says in this verse, Paul says, this is in the New Living Translation. I like the translations. I hope, he says, I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, to Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Yeah. I know that for many of you, like, I've been there when you've kind of first come to Christ, in that moment of, like, you know, the proposal kind of happened. You know, where you're like, oh, wow, God's real. He wants me. I want to follow him. You know, many of you guys, it was a season, but I kind of saw that awakening, you know, as you came to the Lord. And I want so badly for you, like, as you were promised to Christ, to be faithful all the way to him. You know, an interesting kind of finish to the story with Josh Duggar. I was doing some research this morning, and I found out that on this site, it's predominantly men who had accounts. And this is the crazy thing. On this website, there were about 70,000 accounts. 70,000. 70,000 accounts, female accounts, that were bots. They were computer programs. They were not real women. And so these men who were getting on Ashley Madison were having you know when you talk to Siri, you know? Like when you're like, hey Siri, how's it going? I'm fine, thank you, right? Like, that's what this was. They were just like Siri, basically, these computer programs. And these men were getting on and paying money to have an affair with a computer. Isn't that ridiculous? The reality is, there is a really good chance that Josh Duggar, looking to have an affair, was talking to a computer program, right? Who could never, oh, I just want to put my arms around you, right? Who could never be like, oh, let's just be together, right? Oh, who could never, oh, I understand what you're going through, right? Oh, I just want us to be close and have intimacy. Like, none of that could ever happen. And here's the thing. When the world is so tempting to us, and I understand, maybe some of you guys, as I'm talking about this, you're like, and I'm like, man, you know, if you're friends with the world, you're living the world's ways, you're cheating on God. And you're like, ooh, that makes me feel uncomfortable. But like, oh, but I don't want to give this up, because there's like, maybe you feel that. Let me just say, sometimes that thing you don't want to give up, that thing that is you cheating on God, it's just a bot. It promises, oh, we'll be together, we'll be happy, but it can't back those promises up because it's lying to you. It doesn't even have the ability to back those things up. And yes, those emotions are real, right? I remember I was on Skype once and I accidentally ran into a bot because someone friended me and I was like, da da da, and it ended up being a bot. But I thought it was real, and I was like getting super uncomfortable with a bunch of the stuff this bot was saying to me. I had all these emotional reactions, and then after a while, I started just asking other questions, and it became clear that it was a computer program. I was like, oh, this is dumb, right? But in the beginning, I thought it was real, and so I had all these emotions rising. And it's the same exact way when you are going after something that's friendship with the world. In the beginning, you'll have all these like, whoa, you know, whoa. But in the end, it's a bot. It cannot deliver. It cannot give you what it's promising. For there's three big chapters in Proverbs. I think it's like 5, 6, and 7 or something like that. All about don't go after the adulterous woman. Don't go after the woman, the cheat, the whore, the you know, right? Sorry, bad word. Like, don't go after her because in the beginning it's sweet, it's all enticing, it's all this everything, but the end of it is death, right? And that's so what all of this does, guys. It pulls us in, entices us. In the beginning it feels so good, but the things it's promising in the long run, it will never give you. And it will leave you empty, and it will destroy you. Just like it destroyed Josh Duggar. Josh Duggar just got out of rehab on Thursday, this last Thursday. After all this went down, he went into rehab, and just now he's you know, they basically like lock you up and he's out, and he's going back to his wife and kids now. But let me just say, like, his marriage is not anywhere close. His wife even said publicly, yes, I still love him, basically because God tells me to, but there's no trust there right now. Right? Can you imagine? His life is just... And this is what adultery is. And I want to challenge each of you to think, have you been flirting with bitterness when God has called you to himself? Have you been, you know, hanging out with TV shows, music, movies, video games that you know? No big deal. No one really knows. Right? Are we, like, you know, bantering about with anything? You guys know. You fill in the blank. Because friendship with the world is hatred towards God. So we gotta take this seriously. I mean, you know, I was just meditating on the sermon, and you know, I don't know about you, but there's things in my life that, if I told you about them, I'd be like, "Oh, they're not a big deal. Yeah, they're very minor." But as I was thinking about this, would I say if Katie had a minor fling with somebody, right? Oh no, they didn't like do anything. They didn't kiss or anything. They just like hung out, told each other they loved each other, right? Right? Would that, for goodness sakes, right? Like, why? I would not minimize that in any way. Like, for me, and I was thinking about this, because there's, like, I mean, there's been times, for instance, there was a game on my phone that was just, like, super fun, and I really, really liked. But, basically, all the female characters had really skimpy clothing, and there was a lot of, like, witchcraft stuff, like spells and stuff like that. And the Lord convicted me on it and was like, hey, you know, don't be friends with the world. And I was like, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not really like looking at it. You know, it's just like this small little pixel. I can't really see it. And it's not like I'm actually casting spells. It's not, it's just a game. Right? But the Lord just kept pounding about it. And it took me a long time. It actually was several months before I finally was like, okay, I'll delete it off. I even deleted it off my phone and then went and put it back on my phone. Why is that such a big struggle? It seems like such a little thing. But I think the Lord wanted to say, hey, those things matter. Those little cheating, those little like, the little flirting, right? Those things matter. And if the Lord is convicting you on those things, don't look over them. Get back on track. Because really, guys, I do believe this about you guys. If you're a Christian, you want to be close to the Lord, right? You want that, like, intimacy with Him. You want to have, like, this passionate, alive relationship with Jesus, right? Where it's, like, just, you want to have all that. And I think sometimes we flirt with sin and then wonder why our romance with Jesus is not there. Right? Sorry, dude. It's all right, I'll forgive you. But you know what I mean? Like, I flirt, can you imagine if I flirted with a bunch of girls and then wondered why my wife and I were not close? Even if she never found out, right? Even if she never found out, our relationship would suffer. So, I want to challenge you. Is there anything you're flirting with that you know? Like, you know. If you really want to have an intimate, close relationship with Jesus, quit it. Repent and turn back to Him. You know, just in closing, I wanted to mention a few things. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Hosea. And Hosea is this prophet, and God's like, I want you to show the people of Israel what my love is like. So I want you to go out and marry a prostitute. You know what a prostitute is? A prostitute is someone who sleeps with men for money. So he's like, I want you to marry her. So he's like, what the heck, Lord? Okay, yeah. So he marries this lady. Her name is Gomer. Hosea marries Gomer. They have kids together. Right? So they're like, they're not just like married for a week or something. They're like, been married for years. And what does Gomer do? She gets tired of living with Hosea. And she goes back and she starts selling her body for sex again. And God says, go and get back your wife. Go and buy back your wife. So he goes and he finds her. She's so far gone that he has to purchase her back. Because she's like sold herself. Right? He goes and he actually pays to get her back. He takes her into her home and says, listen, Gomer, you have gone out and slept with man after man after man after man. But you, from now on, are going to be faithful to me, and I'm going to be faithful to you. And here's the thing. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've flirted or cheated, flirted with the world or cheated on God, God is saying this. I will come, I will pay the price to buy you back, and you will be faithful to me, and I will be faithful to you. And nothing will separate us. That is the grace of the Lord, and that is what He has done through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ dying on the cross has bought us back from all our mistakes, and God Himself is there saying, I will be faithful to you, and you will be faithful. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Man, if I ever cheated on Katie, I don't know if I wouldn't know how to even ask her to forgive me. Right? And God just says, hey, look, if you've cheated on me, confess your sins, I am faithful and just. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 5:27, the whole book of Ephesians 5 is like the section where he talks about marriage. And it's interesting, he's describing marriage and he says, you know, marriage, a husband is just like Jesus and the wife is just like the church, who we are, right? And he says this, Jesus washes the church with the water of his word. And I just love that image, you know, of maybe even you could imagine Hosea going back and finding his wife, you know, slavery maybe, dirty, broken, taking her back to the house, saying, you're going to be mine, I'm going to be yours, I'll buy you back, and then washing her clean. And that's exactly what God wants to do whenever we've been unfaithful to Him. So draw us back, wash us out. Said, hey, we're going to be one. I'm going to be yours. You're going to be mine. Let's pray. I just want to take a few moments just to think about this. To talk to the Holy Spirit about this. I think, you know, I don't know your guys' hearts, but I think there's probably some of you guys here where you're in a place where, as I'm talking, you know exactly what the Holy Spirit is getting at. Like, maybe not all you guys, but I know some of you, as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is pounding away on one specific issue in your life where you're basically cheating on God. And you know it, and and you're uncomfortable right now. If that's you, I just, Lord, I pray for my friends who are there right now. Lord Jesus, take them back. I know you will. You so freely take them back. Lord Jesus, let them just like take all these false lovers. Just throw them away. And choose the one true love, you. So if that's you and you're in that place, then I just want to challenge you right now to give that thing to God. And say, Lord, I'm sorry for cheating on you. I want to come back. I want to be in your home with you. I want to be in your courts with you. And I want to be faithful to you just like you're going to be faithful to me. I think there's probably some other people here who maybe you feel like my relationship with God is not that, like, it's not that alive, it's not that passionate, it's not like, when you think about, like, an engaged couple, that's totally not the way I think about my relationship with God. There's, like, no emotion, there's no, like, fervency, there's no that. But maybe I had that once after a retreat, or maybe I had that when I first got saved, or whatever. But I don't really know what's going on. If that's you, I feel like God would say maybe there are little flirtatious things you've done with the world, and that is hurting your relationship with God. So God, I just pray for my friends who are there right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would show them what these little things are so that they can get them out and stop doing them so that they can have intimacy and closeness with you again. I pray that right now, as we're just praying, that you would show them and that they can get rid of them. So yeah, if the Lord is showing you something, that like he's showing you one of these little things, I just confess them before the Lord, lay them before them, and then chase after Jesus. I think there's probably, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying there's one more kind of person that might be here too. I don't know. You're in a place where you know that God is calling you, saying, come back. But you're like, nope. I like the world better. I like my lovers better. And Lord, I just want to ask that this, if anybody's there right now, God, I just want to ask that they don't have to go to the end of that road of chasing after these adulterers, God. I pray that they don't have to meet basically what Josh Duggard is meeting right now before they turn back to you. That brokenness and that just like, yeah. Lord Jesus, would you draw them? To show them that your true love is the only true love that matters. God, I just want to ask right now that you would draw all of our hearts close to you. And that we would be so in love with you. Your love would be so dear to us that we just wouldn't even want these other ones. And God, we pray that you would teach us to walk away from temptation, to go away from you and towards you with all of our heart. We bless you in Jesus' name. I want to take just like 5 or 10 minutes and let's get into smaller groups. And I just want us to, you know, let's, you know, I'm not going to ask you to like confess all your sins to the group unless you want to. You know, if you want prayer for something like this, then let's pray for each other. Or if you feel like wherever you are in this kind of thing I've described today, like just, I guess let's do that. Wherever you are, kind of as I've described, like You know, are you in a place where you're faithfully pursuing God? Are you in a place where your passion has kind of grown? Like, are you someone who's like, no, I don't want to be in a relationship with God? Wherever you are on that spectrum, let's just kind of share and then pray for each other that we could be wholehearted towards the Lord and faithful to Him. Because, guys, that's like the best thing ever is this faithfulness to God. So I think this is what we'll do. How many guys, ninth grade member, do we have? Raise your hand. Ninth grade, go. Let's do, let's say 11th and 12th grade guys, raise your hand. Okay, we'll do 11th, 12th grade guys, and 10th grade and down will be the other guys, okay? So let's do 11th, 12th grade guys here. Let's do 10th and down guys there. And then 11th, 12th grade girls. Okay, yeah. Or it's actually.
It's all of us.
Oh, yeah, just split, girls just split into two groups. Okay. Yeah. Alright, so let's pray and let's pray for each other, okay? Alright. Okay, so you guys, what's your name? Alright, let's do it. Let's pray your hand. Let us have a great job.
I don't want to move.
You're a singer. You're not old enough to become a singer guy. I'm putting this back in. How do you feel like singing this out, John? No, I didn't. I didn't hear that. So what's your question?
What you were talking about? Like, where do you think you are? Do you think that, like, the analogy that he used, do you think that you are, you have a healthy relationship with God right now? Or that you are...
Not just yet, title, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was still nestling to God. You know, I did not
No, but I'm very important person. You started and I do not Now, I did trust that the Lord's preacher received his prayers. It's worse. But maybe so. I should know there's something funny about pain. Don't you guys think? I have no idea. That's just not. Well, I appreciate as a good job, Josh. My family has sometimes has relations with God. What about your parents? I guess too.
Just turn this off.